Good morning.
Good morning.
Wait now. Welcome to Appleby United Church. I'm June Perret, part of the community outreach team here at the church. Reverend Allen is on vacation this Sunday and next. And this Sunday, our outreach team is guiding you through the service. And next week, Pat Gilmore from Port Nelson will be here to lead us through the Baden-Powell service. She has many years of guiding experience, and I'm sure that her message will be something we'd like to hear. In case of pastoral emergencies during the time that Alan is away, Reverend Helen Pryor is covering. She's an interim minister at New Church, formerly Tansley and St. Stephen. Yeah, it's a new name now, New Church.
It's not the new name.
What is the new name?
Temporary.
Oh, the temporary new name. Okay. I thought I heard that was a new name, which I thought was should be on New Street or something. Anyway, the information is in the bulletin, the phone number and the email, so I won't bore you with that. He'll be back on February 26th. Okay, thank you for Marjorie Rickson for leading us in our music ministry again today. She does a fine job. Shrove Tuesday tickets are available for purchase after the service from Michael Naylor. Right? Yes, there's Michael. Yeah. I'm not certain, Shirley. Are you full of volunteers?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Good. If you're interested in volunteering for the Shrove Tuesday pancake supper, do talk to Shirley. She's right here. Yeah, okay. Following the Shrove Tuesday service, which is February 25th? What?
It's the 25th.
Ash Wednesday is the next day. We generally don't do an Ash Wednesday service at this church, but this year we've been invited to go to the Holy Cross Lutheran Church on Lakeshore. Last year they did a multi-denominational service for Ash Wednesday, and I went, and I encourage you to go. It's interesting. All the ministers of the participating churches were there. Anointing and providing ashes, and it was a good service. Okay. Fun script. Keith is back. Keith and Fran are back with their tans. Yeah. And anyway, fun script day is today, so if you want to get your gift cards for the grocery or whatnot, Keith is here to accept that. And I want to call on Mabel Abra for a special announcement.
Good morning. World Day of Prayer is a day of bringing women from all the churches together in prayer and action. Each year, women from a different country are featured. This year, we honor the women of Zimbabwe. These women have entitled their service, Rise, Take Up Your Mat and Walk. The service is always celebrated on the first Friday of March. This year, East Burlington Presbyterian Church is hosting the service. It will be on Friday, March 6th at 1 o'clock. This church is on at 505 Walker's Line, just north of New Street. All are welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This day is an opportunity to worship with the people from all denominations here in Burlington. I hope you will consider attending. I will put this poster up on the bulletin board with the women's news so you can find all the information. And of course, refreshments are served.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements? Okay. All right. Oh, yes. One thing I wanted to say is there's a lovely flower arrangement there, which is in celebration of the life of Ross Anderson, whose funeral was here yesterday. And thank you.
We acknowledge God's presence. I believe it's up on there. And if you help me read it through. God, we gather in your house to worship you.
With open hearts, we give you our thanks and praise.
Guide us in all we do as we come seeking you.
With happy hearts, we give you our thanks and praise.
Help us to grow as a community of faith who serves love in your name.
With all hearts, we give you our thanks and praise.
Come, let us worship the living God who makes all things possible.
Our opening prayer in unison. God, we come before you today, knowing that you are a God that gathers near us. In the morning light, you shine a generous glow over the earth. In the fertile soil, you bless the earth with colorful flowers and fresh elements. You are present in every color of the rainbow. Your love shines through your creativity and it is beyond measure. We sing and play and dance. You dance alongside us. When we stumble and fall, you send someone to lift us up. When our hearts are heavy and we grieve, your tears flow with ours. Receive us as we are, here and now. We are here with open arms and open hearts. Help us to receive your compassionate care in each of our ages and stages of life. Be with us in our worship as we gather together, drawing near to your presence. Amen. The next hymn is Draw the Circle Wide, voice 145 in More Voices.
Draw the circle wide. Draw the wider sail. Let us be our song.
Let us now have a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. We long to seek you with our whole heart, God. We want to know that happiness. Help us to release that which binds us to unhappiness. Help us to shed the layers of doubt and disease and uncertainty. Help us to clothe ourselves with your limitless love and wash us with your forgiveness. Forgive us, God, for the times we have allowed our doubts to claim our attention, when our hearts have been closed to your love. Amen. Let us take a moment to bring before God in prayer our own thoughts. Amen. Listen to the assurance of God's never-ending love. Friends and neighbors, let us rejoice. God tells us that when we confess our sins, God forgives. Know that your confession has drawn you closer to God's love. Let go of your doubts and fears completely, for you have placed them at Christ's feet. Rest assured, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace to love and serve God. Amen.
Good morning. The stories of Jesus taken from Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40, loving your neighbor. It's also in the Good News Bible, the New Testament, page 38. I was hungry, and you fed me, thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and received me in your homes, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me, in prison, and you visited me. The righteous will then answer him, when, Lord, did you ever see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me. Thus endeth the lesson.
Thank you.
Alan's not here today, as you know, but in his messages, Reverend Alan asked us to get out to the neighborhood to get a better idea of the needs of our neighborhood and what we as a neighborhood church can do to help. And he's made that message and suggestion many times, as you know. Today, your community outreach group, we're going to bring to you messages from two organizations that are responding to the needs of the neighborhood. I'll introduce Shifra Homes. And Shifra is a place where otherwise homeless young pregnant women can go for safety, love, and help. The other is our Community Cares, an organization that we've had a long association of helping and supporting. And June Pere, who leads the team, the helping team there, will tell you more of that story. Someone noticed that Shifra Homes had moved into our neighborhood, and on behalf of the community outreach team, June, my wife, and I visited Shifra. We met Nancy Romick, the executive director, probably known better by many in the home simply as Mom. We went to see what we thought was Shifra House, and we had spoken to Nancy. She invited us in, and we were welcomed, and we saw a busy, clean, well-organized place. Lots of strollers around, and when you went into the garage, it was a whole shelf full of diapers and things. But it was it was a place that felt good. And when Bruce read the message, he was talking about vulnerable people, people who were needed to just a glass of water, some food, visits. And surely the young men and the most vulnerable persons, I think, in our society are young pregnant girls who otherwise have no support and no place to go where they're safe, and perhaps most of all, no place to go where they're loved. My wife June and I went, and we went to see Shifra House. Pardon me. But we left it. We left knowing that we had seen Shifra Home. A home is different than a house. A home is where you go to be loved and to be safe. When we met Nancy, we talked to her for quite a long time, and you're going to have the opportunity to talk to her today. As I said, she's the executive director, but I think she knows she likes to be known as Mom. Nancy?
Good morning, and thank you. Still brings tears to my eyes. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a former very successful business owner. I had a nursing agency for over 25 years and had been very blessed. I had my youngest son at 19, my business at 21, and retired in my mid-40s. And I put it out there amongst my group and colleagues that I really wanted to give back and that I had been fortunate and wanted to share my talent and resources with a charity, not really knowing where I was going or where God would take me. And somehow God took me to Shifra Homes. They were on the verge of closing for the second time. And I met with a deacon that had started Shifra Homes, and he shared a story of what his vision was and why Shifra was started. And he basically had a young woman in his congregation that was pregnant, and the parents had kicked her out, and she had nowhere to go. So for me, my original mission was to take it over, save it, fill the house up with young women, get them money, make sure everything was okay, and possibly at that time hire somebody and sort of be their mentor and stay back there. Why I felt like this was, I was used to having hundreds of employees. I had three different offices. I felt that Shifra possibly might be a little bit too small for my talent, but what I really didn't know was that God was taking me to the right place at the right time, and I just didn't know that message at that point. What I wanted to share with you this morning was a video, and then I'll talk again. Thank you.
Well, another part of vulnerable children in Canada are those young moms who find themselves pregnant, alone, and even homeless. Nancy Romick is the executive director of a home for just such vulnerable mothers and their children. Nancy, help us understand, what are all the circumstances that lead to women, young girls, showing up at the doorstep of a place like Shifra?
It's multiple. Number one is a lot of dysfunction within the family dynamic, trauma, abuse, neglect, lack of support, broken families. It's so many different factors that contribute to these young women that show up at my doorstep.
And when their family structure has broken down and now they find themselves on the verge of being mothers, what are their hopes and dreams for these babies?
Really, they're looking for a place to call home, because at the point that I'm meeting them, they are homeless. So they are couch surfing, they're sleeping outside, they're sleeping in cars. They're trying to survive and trying to find shelter. Their big goal is obviously finding a home where they can have their baby, because unless they do have a home, their baby is at risk of apprehension upon birth.
So what do we need for them, Nancy? What needs to make it better for tomorrow for these young families?
We really need to change a lot. And I would say it stems from childhood. When you have a young woman come into your home and she has 22 cavities in her mouth, and you ask her when the last time that she had been to the dentist was, and she says in grade 2 when they came and did a school check, I think that kind of tells the whole story. And you can just imagine, you know, everything else from there.
So when parents don't do their job, their children become more vulnerable to repeating the cycle. And yet here you stand as a shelter for young moms like this, trying to break the cycle. What makes breaking the cycle possible for these beautiful babies, for these beautiful girls?
I would say it's really number one, love, and it's believing in these young women and giving them structure and discipline and teaching them. I have often been accused of spoiling my young girls. I call them my daughters because they are my daughters.
And they call you mom. I know that. I've seen this firsthand.
They do. I teach them what normal is. So their rooms are set up like princesses. They have beautiful comforters. The house has everything for them, from food to all their needs, the prenatal needs, shampoos, the whole network, sort of. And when I first started, it was difficult because we had none of these things. And right now we have that whole wraparound service.
And you've needed the local community to care for these kids. And is sometimes adoption part of the option of care?
Yes,
it is. Explain that, because adoption has changed so much in this country.
It is. We work with a local adoption agency. So if a young woman decides or even has an inkling that adoption is the route for her, the way she wants to go, we call in the adoption agency. They meet with the young mom and they go over everything with her. They explain how things work today.
Nancy, I'm so glad that Shifra's in my local community. There's probably one in yours too that you can help and volunteer with. Nancy, you've been part of showing us we're all part of making a better future for vulnerable children. I was once one. You probably were too. Get out there and make a difference for vulnerable children. There's a lot more on the agencies we featured here at Context Today. Check it out on our website and do your part of making a better Canada for vulnerable children and for children around the globe. Nancy Romick from Shifra Homes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lorna.
All right.
Ooh. I wanted to share at my home the joke prior to finding out about Shifra was that I was always going to be the mother in the hallway because I only have sons. I never had a physical daughter. And I would never get to be the one that holds the baby first or the one that does things with my daughter because I didn't have one. And almost 90 beautiful young women later, I can say that God really heard my prayer and gave me and blessed me with all these wonderful young women. And each one has a story. One thing that I found and what I've learned through my journey is that these children have been failed. They've been failed by their parents, they've been failed by their families, they've been failed by their teachers, their medical health care providers, if they were Christian, by their Christian community. Everybody has let these children fall through the cracks and go what they've gone through without finding a solution or fixing it for them. And the beauty is that these children are so resilient and so beautiful. And one thing in the opening song was saving the lost. These children are lost and they need to be redeemed and supported and to be loved. So what I do best, I'm very maternal and I love these girls and these young women and these babies as if they were my own. I don't know any different. I often tell them that the way that I treat my biological children is the exact way that I treat them. So when they first come in, and they obviously have so many needs, we do have their teeth checked, their eyes checked, we buy them glasses, we meet all their needs, so we provide absolutely everything that they need. An average girl comes in really with a clothes on her back and nothing more and nothing less. So it's a big job helping this young woman go through this whole pregnancy, teaching her different, putting her back in school, giving her chores, giving her responsibility, and setting goals for her. And my bar is very high. So what I'm doing is teaching them what I expect of my children or what my normal is in the home. The home is really beautiful now. It's been 7.5 years since I took over and I'm almost finished all the renovations. But what I do is teach these children that their lives matter and that they're important and that they have so much to give. And I often tell them, everything that I'm able to accomplish and do and all the outpouring and donations and support that I have is as a result of me being a good person, being a good business leader in the community, being a good mother, being a good Christian. And all of these things come back to us and they come back to us for them and their children. I'm really proud to say that my first young girl that I took, one of the first ones, she was 16 years old. And she was very smart. Her parents didn't kick her out, but they were going through a divorce. And she felt that telling them at that time that she was pregnant was going to, at that point, completely alter the whole family and there would be no sort of hope for reconciliation. And I think that's what she really wanted. She contacted me in August when I took over and I asked her, she was going to hide the pregnancy and at Christmas time say, surprise, I'm pregnant and having a baby. I asked her to meet with me and I told her as a parent that that was the worst thing that she could do to her parents, that it was better to be honest with them, to share this information, and that somehow God would find a way that they would support her and that she would be okay. And that is exactly what she did, and she chose to move into Shifra because she really wanted to remove the problem from the household that was already contentious. The first time I met her, she was so stoic. She was the same age as my youngest son. And I went home and I cried because I couldn't believe how brave she was and how she was worrying about everybody else except not herself. And then in my mind, I thought, well, what's going to happen now? How is she going to graduate school? How is she going to have like a good and normal future? How will she face all these disadvantages that she's going to have? And my youngest son who was her age, looked at me and I shared my concerns. And he looked and he said, "Mom, why are you making her fail before she's even had a chance to try to survive and achieve these goals?" And I thought to myself, wow, you know what? I have to do this a different way. I can't look at these young women and feel sorry for them. I have to show them what the future is and what the future can be. And I'm proud to say that she's now a registered nurse. She works at the ER department here at our hospital. I have young architects, I have social workers, I have all kinds of girls that have graduated and are currently at university and in colleges. My first baby is 7 and a half. My youngest baby was born on Friday on Valentine's Day, a little girl named Madison. I am so honored, so privileged, and so blessed to be a part of these young women's lives and to show them that there are people that care, that the world is a beautiful place. And my big thing when I first meet them, 85% of these young women have attempted suicide on at least one occasion. So they've been crying out for help and nobody has heard their cries. I always tell them I can't remove the past. I can only apologize for whatever's happened to them, and I can promise them that I'm going to give them a better future and that everything will be okay. And I'm a person, if I give my word, that will happen, and it has happened almost 90 times. Every day when I go in, I'm so blessed to be able to hug these girls, love them, hold their babies, teach them to parent, help them graduate at least high school minimal, move them forward. Because I am so successful, once they transition out of the home, I started a supplementary program called Seeds of Hope. I supplement their rent $400 a month for 1 year. If they continue going to university or college, I continue to support them. So what I want is to break the cycle and break these patterns of everything that they've gone through, empower them. I think that's the really big word, empower them, and teach them how to succeed. And sometimes especially when I go away, and I was just away recently, I often reflect, because at night when I lay down, I always think, what did I do well? What can I do better? What do I still need to do in this journey to make a difference for these young women? And often, it is a struggle. Emotionally, this job is so hard because you're dealing with so many secrets and traumas and abuse and things that these children have gone through, and you wish somehow you can just make it all disappear. We do. We have a psychotherapist that's there every week, 2 days a week. We have the whole community. We have public health nurses. We have doulas. We have midwives. We have volunteers. We have students doing their placement. So it's a community within a community, helping these young women and these babies move forward and to be successful. Often when I'm guiding these young women, and I am tough on them, I tell them that, you know, failure's not an option in my books, and that they're going to succeed and they're going to do all the things that I set out for them. And one time I remember a young girl, she was 16, she yelled at me and she said, "You know, you're so tough on us and you want us to be perfect and you want all these things and we can't do this." And I said, "No, you can do this. I'm living proof. I had my son at 19 and look at all the things that I've accomplished. And as a result of that, I'm here with you, helping you in this part of your journey and telling you that you can succeed." And I told her that everything that I do with a pure heart and with a lot of love, and because I love them. And her comment back to me was, "How can you love me? You're not even family, you're a stranger." And I remember being really offended when she said that, and then I went home that night and I thought to myself, how can she really expect a stranger to love her when her whole family and everybody in her network has let her down? And I think at Shifra, my big powerful message is love, unconditional love, because with love, we can accomplish anything. And I want to thank you for listening to my story and the story of all these vulnerable young women and their precious babies. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nancy, for bringing that message to us. We've all been blessed by your words and now more informed. So anyway, I have a message from our Community Cares. As some of you know, we've had a long-term relationship with our Community Cares. It's a program of ROC, which is Reach Out Center for Kids. And they have a community center down on Burl Oak. This past week, they had a fundraiser, a spaghetti dinner, and some of us from this church some friends and family, we all attended this fundraiser. They had to keep putting up more tables because people came this year. The weather was good, and the dinner was excellent. And they have been holding that fundraiser now for 7 years. And this year they went through trivia on our Community Cares, and now it's all fresh in my mind. It was started by two single moms, and Mary De Silva and Ann Marsh. Ann Marsh still works with them down there. She does the food program. And Diana De Silva, who is the lead community worker there, that's her mom, Mary De Silva. Anyway, it was in 95, and our church has been involved with them right from the beginning. Anyway, without further ado, we have a little video that Diana made. No, don't play it yet. Of just some pictures, some joyful pictures of what happens at their summer camp. Like, they have a program after school. The kids can come there after school, and they have programs for girls and boys. They have programs for the moms. They have programs for whole families. Every Monday night, they do a teen dinner. And sometimes they get a tray of French fries from a restaurant, which they put curds and gravy on top, and that's their dinner. And twice a year, we cook some lasagnas here for them, because they have no ovens. We cook some lasagnas here, and we make some Rice Krispie squares, and sometimes some ice cream, and ice cream cones or whatever, and we send that down, so they have a very special dinner. But the important part is they sit around and they talk about really good things. Anyway, through March break, they have a camp to keep the kids busy and all day. And in the summer, during July, they have the young kids, and it's a summer camp every day, Monday to Friday, and they do all kinds of wonderful things. And they're always themed, like the March break camp coming up is Canadiana. So they'll learn all about Canada. And then in the August, it's the older elementary kids, anyway, it's a great program, and we support it wholeheartedly here. The Appleby Breakfast, which is once a month, they give money to it, so that one day of the week. It used to be they'd have breakfast for the kids going to school, and now they found that the kids are really hungry after school, as you can imagine. So one day a week, they give them all a meal when they come home from school, and that's supported by our Appleby Cafe. This church does lots of financial help. However, there's people, there's relationships. The knitting group, Bev Rathwell's been going there for a couple of years. Carol Dumbrell and I used to go, and there's relationships get built, and that's great. Anyway, Diana put together this video on the summer camp. And watch very carefully. There's no narration. It's just pictures that are going to be shown of all the kids. And it's only 3 minutes. So lower the lights. And Doug, you can run the video. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you've seen and you've heard all the wonderful things that we can support, that we have support, we do support, and help in our neighborhood. So coming up now is a chance to give to God's work in the world and our neighborhood. Through our offering today, you can help to care for people in our neighborhood through our gifts to the Mission Service Fund, and we haven't talked about that today, but as a church, we support the Mission Service Fund very well. About 10% of our offerings actually go on. I think we tithe. Don't mean to, but we do it. And the Mission Service supports the United Church programs throughout Canada and the world. And through the gifts that you designate yourself for programs, they're of special interest to you, and some people will put on their envelope, you know, I want this to go to the food bank, or hopefully Schiffer House or OCC. You support programs that you believe are close to your heart. So thank you for caring for our neighbors near and far, and who, like us, are all God's beloved children. Now we will have our morning offering. Okay, let us pray. Dear God, we ask that you bless the offerings we give today in support of our church and also in support of others who are doing what needs to be done to care for our neighbors. Help us to remember your two most important commands to us, that we love you and that we love our neighbor. We have heard today of the work that two of our neighbors, our Community Cares and Schiffer Homes, are doing in caring for our neighbors. We ask for your blessings on their work and what we are doing to participate with them and support that work. Let the majesty of the Father be the light that guides us, the compassion of the Son be the love that inspires us, and the presence of the Spirit be the power that empowers us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Companion in God, when we feel your presence, we are never alone. You are the rock and the soft moss filled with life. You offer the path to travel and bless the traveler. You bless each step, offering spaces to heal when we fall. You reach toward us and lift us up. You guide us with light that summons our best self. You welcome us as we are, while stirring us to awaken. Our lives matter, and you fill us with hope. Thank you for the steps that bring our lights into your radiance. Thank you for the communities of light that bless us and offer blessing to others. Thank you for the spaces of hope that carry our hearts when we feel too broken to move. You show your love as we heal. You bless us to grow so that we may encircle others, offering your hope and love through each step. Amen. And in unison, we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The closing hymn is number 509 in Voices United.
Our Lord, sing and sing.
God, help us to grow with open eyes and open hearts. Help us to open our hearts to what breaks our hearts, so that we may live with compassion and peace. Open our eyes to the abundance found in creation and what blooms and grows even against the odds. Amen. I think we have. Yeah. Thank you, and there's coffee available and down the hall, and if you want to speak with Nancy, I'm sure she is. Yeah, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts and questions for her. Have a good day, everybody. Blessing.